Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Justin Flagg, 11 years of career experience, a backstep firefighter for Northport Fire Rescue in Florida. Justin is in what he would call his second stint within his fire service career. First and foremost, he believes in a higher calling spiritually and the love for his family. What's great about Justin's story is his life experience and how he utilizes that within his daily life and when on shift. Justin believes fitness is the foundation for performing the job at a high level and for having longevity. With that, I present Mr. Justin Flagg.
My name is Justin Flagg. I am 48 years old. I'm a husband, father, and a backseat fireman for the City of Northport Fire Rescue in Sarasota County, Florida. Well, Northport, which is in Sarasota County, Florida.
Okay. First of all, thank you for coming on. Appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Secondly, before I start that question, I want to know how you got into the fire service.
Yeah, so I'm 47 years old, and I got into the fire service. Seems like ages ago. Back in about 2002 is when I went to the fire academy. So a few years after college. So I'm originally from California, Southern California, a few years after college. Was working at kind of an office job, didn't really love it. And, you know, being someone who's team background, team sports through high school and playing football in college, I wanted something, you know, a little bit more fulfilling and also a little bit more with team camaraderie. And I had a friend at the time who had some family members in the fire service. So I did a ride along, and from there I was hooked, man. It was just, the team camaraderie, every day is kind of different. While there's structure to your day, you never knew what was going to happen. Kind of had to be prepared for everything. So from there, man, I think it was 2002 went into the fire academy. I had to take some prerequisite classes before I could get into the fire academy. Did the fire academy and then tested and finally got hired with my first fire department in 2005, which is a small single station fire department on an Indian reservation. So that was many moons ago, it seemed like.
All right. So you're at that. So pretty much when you got to that department, was it kind of what you thought it would be, or a little different?
It was different because, again, it was a single station department, and that one was a fairly new department on Indian Reservation. We worked at 4896, and one of the days of your 48, especially being a new person, was down. They had a brand new casino, so you had to do some time down at the casino, basically just EMT, medical stuff, just being on call for that, and then whether it was your first day or second day, whatever it was, then you'd go up to the station the next day, or vice versa, be on the engine and just normal stuff, EMS. We didn't have any transport out there. It was just fire, EMS, a lot more rural area, so a good amount of wildland experience. And I was there at that department for about a year and a half or so, because it was late when I got hired. And then I got hired in my second department in 2007, which is the City of Riverside, which is a larger department. And not huge, but a bigger department than I was at. Mm-hmm. 14 stations, about 200 people. And so that's where I cut my teeth. And that was where, the fire service was, okay, this is what I expected. We're running calls, we're busy. We were training, a lot of high expectations in the city. They had a lot of tradition, and it was just, kind of, I guess, old school fireman mentality, right? You come in, you're a rookie, don't speak until spoken to. You knew your role, they trained you up, and they expected a lot out of you. So it was, that was my introduction. I think that was my real introduction into the fire service.
Okay. All right. So, is it safe to say that you you learned do's and don'ts being at Riverside from different individuals that you work, and maybe it started molding the mind frame and the mindset to the fire
Yeah,
service?
100%, man, 100%. That, like I said, that's where I learned all of it in terms of do's and don'ts, how to act. And I didn't know, so I had no, prior to that, no experience with fire service. I didn't have any family in the fire service. Looking back at that ride along I did, man, I laugh at myself because I went in and just kind of hung out. I think I had lunch and sat in the recliner. I think I even fell asleep in the recliner. So I didn't know what was going on, man. And so when I got to Riverside, it was totally different, man. I was green, and granted, I was, my mid-20s, so I wasn't super young, but young enough, and especially young in the fire service to not even know. But there's a great group of guys there in terms of there's a good balance between guys that have been there a long time, and then just every so many years they would hire. So there's always somebody kind of brand new, and then within 3 to 5 years, and another like 5 to 8 years, 8 to 10, there's always somebody in that range you can kind of go to and talk to and get good advice from, and kind of they would lead you in the right direction on, like you said, do's and don'ts, what to do, here's what's going on, traditions of the fire service, things of that nature. So that's definitely where I learned, kind of like I said, cut my teeth in the fire service.
Okay. All right. So we'll fast forward a little bit and
Sure.
you moved to Florida. What sparked that transition?
Yeah, so I was in, like I said, I grew up in California, and moved to Florida in 2011. So I was at Riverside from 2004, 2007 to 11, late 2011. So what sparked the move to Florida was my wife is from Florida. So we met in California. She had moved out there, when I first got into the fire service. We got married, had a few kids, and we just kind of just she got a little bit homesick, and I'd always lived in California. I was really into fitness and training. We were both personal trainers, and CrossFit at the time was big, and I started having ideas of opening up a gym. And I had visited here in Sarasota plenty of times with her, and I was like, I could live there. It's on the water. Other side of the country, but we're not landlocked. And me growing up in Huntington Beach in California, I very much wanted to be by the water and on a coast. And it was somewhat similar to where I grew up. So I said, it's funny. I was talking to an engineer on my crew one day, and for some reason he decided to say, yeah, I don't know. He had been in the fire service quite a while. Since he was young, we were about the same age, but he had been in since he was young. He's like, I don't know, man, if I had something else, I might jump at it. And it just kind of sparked something. I came home because my youngest daughter was about 6 months, and my older one, it was about two and a half. And just said, hey, if we're going to do it, let's do it. So we took another trip out to Sarasota, started looking around, looking for spots to open up a CrossFit affiliate. Didn't necessarily find one, but we just made a decision. I said, hey, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it now. I was early 30s, and I've always had that mindset of, hey, I don't want to look back with regret. Say, I'm going to take the chance. So we did it, man. We just and to the much of the somewhat dismay to my mother and sister, because I have the only two daughters in our family. My sister has three boys, and my older brother has another son. So I was the one with two daughters, and kind of took them away when they were young and to the other coast. So we packed up, man. I think it was September, October when we took the trip, and then by the end of October we were in Sarasota.
Okay.
Moved and packed all our stuff up, rented our house that we had in Sarasota or in California, and then that was it. We were living with our parents for a while before we looking around, and then that was it.
Okay. So during that time, though, you also took a break from the fire service.
I did, man. And I looked even at getting into the fire service and trying to do both in terms of, running the gym and getting into the fire service, trying to do both. And I just went, hey, I'm going to go full all in on the gym and the CrossFit affiliate and the business. So that's what we did. So I took a break, man. I didn't know that I didn't really have a whole lot of intentions to get back. While I loved being in the fire service, or I would say I really liked it at the time. I liked it, I think, probably for the wrong reasons. Looking back and now that I'm older and I can kind of reflect, it was really, I liked, like I said, I liked the team camaraderie and all that stuff. And I liked the schedule. But I wasn't, quote unquote, into the job. And I was always kind of looking to do something else on the side, especially fitness and training and whatnot. I regretfully, I guess regretfully, but more so like learning from the experience. And I looked at it as a way to have a secure job and then try to have a quote unquote side hustle and run a business on the other side, on the outside of that. So, yeah, that's like I said, I took a break not knowing that I would ever get back into the fire service because we had the gym and the business and everything. I thought that was, not that we were going to be, rich and make tons of money, but I just thought that that's what we were going to do until who knows. But it
So,
didn't last.
I'm about to say, so what sparked that? Hell, I'm gonna make a comeback.
Yeah, so in 2000, like 16, 17, 18, being, I don't know if for anybody that runs a business, owns a business, I know a lot of firemen run side businesses out on the outside. I don't know if any of them, how many of them do that with their significant other, their wives successfully. So we were both in the business together. We were both good, I would say, technicians of our craft and what we did in terms of training and coaching and whatnot. Neither of us had run a business, and we'd always either worked in the gym, worked for somebody else. So it was all new to us. And over the years, man, we weren't great business partners. And it started to, I felt, and I think we both felt that it started to, it would seep over into family life, the home life, and our marriage. And, that was one of the big reasons that I said, hey, this isn't working. It's not, we were successful and had a good gym and good community and made some money, but we weren't, our friendship and everything else just wasn't, on the best or the best it could be. Secondly, and kind of looking back, man, like I said, learning from mistakes and whatnot. I wasn't definitely a good business owner or even a manager or leader of people, or even, probably even a leader of myself at the time, right? And so honestly, we talk about it, and I think it just got the stress of everything. It just said, let's cut it off, and I know I can go back to something that I know that I can do. In terms of firefighting, and it's almost like with the business, I had an out, I had a second way. It's because I had another option. I knew something, there was something else I could do. So I just said, "Hey, let's cut it off. Go back into the fire service," and that was it, man. She definitely had some reservations because I was, 40 at the time or so, a little over 40. She's like, "You're over 40. What are you gonna do?" And I wasn't too worried. I was still in shape, still, taking care of myself. And I had known some other guys around here that were in the fire service, and like, yeah, man, don't like, you can definitely get back in and do it. And so that was it, man. I just decided to, I had to start all over, because I had let everything last. I hadn't taken any,
Con
seat.
Ed, yep.
Yep. So I went back to the fire. I could have tried to like kind of appeal and not gone to the fire academy and just done the state test here. But I said, oh, I'm just going to go back to the academy and do it. It'll be a good refresher. It's been a long time. So that's what I did. And it was definitely well worth it. Man, I liked being in the academy. It was good. Man, I was definitely the old man of the group, older, wiser man of the group. But, it's definitely, it's different when you go through something for a second time that you've already done. I didn't have that nervousness about learning something new, right? So I could go in and be like, okay, I remember this, I remember this, and just be comfortable with kind of refreshing and then going through everything and then actually helping guys, while I was in there and focus on that as well. So, took a little bit of a leadership role in the class, and then it was good. Met some new guys. I actually met a couple of guys that I work with now. Actually, our administration chief, he wasn't at my department then, but he was one of the instructors. He worked for another department. So I made a good connections through there, and it definitely helped out in the hiring process long term. So
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So you apply at North Point,
North, yeah,
and
Northport.
Northport. Okay, sorry, Northport.
Okay.
And you get the job. Now, one thing with Florida that I know of now is it's super competitive getting on Florida. Like, you usually have to have everything. You can't really, they don't usually take people with nothing. Like, you have to have most of your certs to get hired.
Yeah, then you had to have, through the fire academy, it was, it's a quote unquote minimum standard. So I had to go through EMT first, EMT school to redo that, and then go back to the fire academy to get fire, firefighter one, firefighter two. So definitely, there's no, most departments, pretty sure you have to have everything. So yeah, I had everything, did it all, did the CPAT, and then applied through, I think, the testing network and just put my name out to a very small, select, distance in terms of distance and radius from where I live. So that was it, man. Went in, and that's the other thing. And going through a second time, being older and being going through interviews is totally different than when I was early 20s and wasn't sure about myself, wasn't sure what was going on, had no life experience. It's a totally, I was, I'm a totally different guy than I was, 20 years ago.
Right. Okay. All right. And for those that don't know, including myself, can you tell us a little bit about Northport, the size, stations, personnel?
Yeah, so we are, so Northport in general, like in terms of the land, I actually took some notes just because to make sure I had some stuff right. Let's see if I have it here. I know it's about 100 square miles. A lot of that, or some of that is uninhabited, right? We have a good amount of preserves and whatnot. But we have six stations, about 100, a little over 115, 120 personnel. We're definitely growing, man. We're one of the faster growing cities in the state, and I believe even in the country. So we have some plans for new stations coming up in the next couple of years, which is cool. We're hiring like crazy. We hire about every 6 months, so we're definitely, in terms of staff, we're not overstaffed, but we're solid, man. There's not a whole lot of overtime going on because, there's minimum staffing, but all the seats pretty much are filled on a daily basis. It's a fairly newer department in terms of, so there's not a lot of rich history and tradition. So I want to say about 30 to 40 years in terms of total inception from a started from a small volunteer department, and then just recently over the last 15 years has really, really grown. So let's see what else. We're home to the Atlanta Braves spring training, so that's our
Okay.
newest area, and that's actually one of the areas that's growing quite heavily. A lot of people from up north coming down. It's a very seasonal type of place as well, so it's starting to die down in terms of people are leaving the area. It's getting hotter, it's getting humid, so people are going back up north. So it's been busy the last few months. From, I would say, a little after Christmas till Easter is the busy season. So
Okay.
We run fire and EMS, so we transport our own. So we have three engines and three quote unquote trucks, but they're Quints, 75-foot ladders, sticks, with a tank on there as well. So, why they are trucks, I'm on one. We could be first on scene and we're fire attack. So we do it all. We don't have specialties. We do, which was different for me in terms of coming in, and when I came in and got to the department, my when I worked for Riverside in California, generally you come in, you're a fireman, man. You're a backseat fireman. Don't worry about the pump. Don't worry about driving. Don't worry about any of that. You have to have a CDL anyways to drive out there. When I got here, totally different. Got in orientation. Hey, you're gonna learn how to pump. You're gonna learn how to drive. So. It was, and thankfully I had driven before and started that process when I was in Riverside, so that helped a little bit. But totally different. And we are just starting an engineer program, or we've started an engineer program recently in the last 3, 4 years or so since I've been there. It's new, which is cool. So we do have driver engineers, but they're not all the seats are filled. So not all 18 spots. Actually, we've got six stations. So. Every station only has either, like I said, an engine or a truck, and then every station has an ambulance rescue. So,
Okay. And what's your minimum staffing on the engines?
three
Three.
and three on each one.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes, depending on the staff, on the shift, the station, and the crew, some of them will have four. It just depends on the day and where everybody's at. If everybody's at work, nobody's taking off, then pretty much every unit would have four.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. And with six stations, you get a first due box in your area, your station. What other complements are you getting on that assignment?
So basically two suppression units, two rescues, and a tanker. We have a 3,000 water or 3,000 gallon tanker, because we do have some areas that don't have hydrants, and then district chief.
Okay. Okay. Is that the same as battalion chief?
Yeah. They
Okay.
actually changed the name. It used to be battalion chief district, so we have two districts.
Okay. All right. You're back in the game again.
Yeah.
I'm sure you noticed some subtle changes back then and now. Was it kind of like, okay, this is nothing, or like, wow, like it fire service has changed in the 8 years that I was gone?
Maybe a little bit. And again, it's tough to compare, I guess, because I think where and where I was, in California was very progressive in terms of maybe not tactics, but just in general, right? It's kind of tough to say, because the vision or what I was seeing back then as a new guy is way different than what I'm seeing now, right? In terms of how I'm seeing the bigger picture, where I was a new guy just focused on, I just need to get through probation and get through, make sure, keep my head down,
Right.
right? Forward, eyes forward. Kind of not under the radar, but just making sure I was doing my thing, and so it was a little bit different. So, that's a tough one to answer. I can't say, obviously there are some things that, which is probably a good thing in terms of, the way I guess people are treated for sure. Not that we were treated badly, but there's always some. And I come from a sports background and a football background and in college, so it didn't, get to me. When I was back in California, in terms of, a little bit of hazing and whatnot, not
Right.
hazing, but like just good natured, like ridicule, right?
Yeah. You're,
I
they're
always
po they're poking fun at you.
tell guys, man, I mean, look, man, if guys aren't making fun of you and they're not talking to you, they don't like you. So start worrying about it. Start worrying about that when they're not talking to you and they're not, and it's
Right.
all in good nature and in good fun and good teasing. So, that part has changed a little bit. We didn't do a whole lot of pranks back in the day. I'm sure there has been in terms of change, overall changes. But like I said, what I was seeing and what I was focused on when I was younger, definitely different than what I am now.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. So you with while at Northport, you're 40 or 41.
47.
Well, no, I mean
Oh,
when
when
you
I got hired.
started. Yeah.
I got hired, so going on 5 years. I'm about 42.
Okay. So my next question kind of relates to age, and no shots, because I am about to be 40 myself. So I know the fire service and age, man, like things start hurting. Your body doesn't move like it used to. Your recovery is a little different. So how important, because I found you through this specific platform of fitness, how important is physical fitness? And I don't mean And here's the thing, people kind of get, they kind of start feeling the wrong way where you're like, hey man, you got to be fit. We're not saying you got to be like NFL type fit, but you got to be fit to be able to at least do the job in the cylinder and at least go through a cylinder at least 20, 25 minutes of decent work. So how important is fitness to you?
To me, man, and again, I've been biased in terms of fitness and whatnot, because I grew up, like I said, playing sports and then staying involved with fitness for basically the rest of my life. And when I got into the fire service, I could tell, like, hey, man, this is a big piece of what we do. So kind of taking me from the timeline and trajectory from then, it was all about high performance, like full throttle, all gas, all, no brakes all the time. Being young and being younger, I should say, and being involved in CrossFit at the time and whatnot, it definitely, like I said, definitely helped in terms of work capacity and being able to be prepared at any time to do as much work as needed. and be able to recover quickly. And I still find that true today, but what I for me now, it's a little bit different perspective in terms of taking the time for recovery. And I do believe fitness is the foundation for what we do, man. Not just from a performance standpoint, but from a recovery and longevity standpoint. So me being 47, man, I turned 47 in January. And while I did take a good break, the guys I know that are older that have stayed in shape and still move and still train well. And again, like you said, not necessarily, high level training all the time, but they're active and they take care of their bodies. They watch what they put into their bodies in terms of food. They're less prone to getting injured. And when they do get injured, they recover a lot quicker than other guys and other, other people do. They may have some tweaks here and there, aches and pains, but like I said, nothing debilitating where they can't do something, right? They're less likely to be on light duty. So for me, that's kind of where my focus has been now, especially since I'm older, is, well, I want to perform at a high level and be ready. And I'm still like, I still work out in gear. I still, not multiple times a week, but I try to get in at least 1 to 2 times a week in gear. And then again, it's from a longevity point for me now, especially since I got back into the fire service and I'm probably going to be here till I'm 60, right? So I got a good another 12 years, man. So I want to be able to function well and not be, I know I'm going to be hurting a little bit only, and this is from years and years of playing football at a high level, then doing competitive CrossFit and lifting heavy and going hard there. So that residual effect. So now, like I said, I'm looking at it from a different angle and saying, how can I be still perform at a high level and maintain that longevity piece going forward? So, like I said, man, for me, fitness is the foundation for what we do physically, mentally too, man. It keeps you sharp and it keeps you sane. So it keeps me sane for sure. They say movement is medicine, and it's true. I just got done with the workout a little before we started. I was dragging a little bit. Didn't get the best night of sleep. We weren't busy or anything, but just didn't sleep well at the station and thought about postponing that workout. But now, man, after I did it, feeling good, got a little bit of sunshine in my eyes, and that's it, man. Like, so now the rest of my day is done. I'm not going to be anxious about getting my workout in or doing it or missing it or whatever. So there's a lot of different pieces that I see fitness from and how it improves and how it benefits us as firemen, but as humans as well, man. And that's a big piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So you say you mentioned 1 or 2 times a week that you do gear workouts. I'd say that's definitely pretty reasonable for sure. Was it a big difference, which I'm going to say probably not, but was it a big difference from California weather to Florida? I know Florida's heat, humidity,
Yeah,
but
so
California gets hot too.
it does, man. So yes and no. So I worked in California. I didn't work. I lived by the beach, but I worked 60 miles in, like east. So just at the kind of near the desert, I say, and it gets hot, man. During the summer, it would get 100, a little above 100. And it sounds cliche, but yeah, it's a dry heat, but still, it's hot. We were doing gear workouts back then. We had this thing called the gauntlet. Just what a lot of people call maybe a skill Saturday session, where you're doing work, man. You're dragging tires, using the sledgehammer, flipping tires, pulling hose, stuff like that. But from a heat standpoint, it's the humidity in the summer, man, as it definitely, because that heat traps in and it doesn't evaporate, man. Once you're hot and you're sweaty here, it's like you're in a sauna in the summer, all the time. So that's where it took. And obviously, I had been here for a number of years before I got back into the service, but it still took some time to get used to for sure. And I knew that going in, man. Like, all right. And I even so before I got hired, or when I knew I was getting back into the fire service. Well, actually, one of our members at my gym that we had for some reason she or her husband or somebody had a set of turnouts, like an old set of turnouts. She's like, "Hey, do you want these?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want them." So I started doing the same thing, and I went back. I started dragging a sledge, flipping tire, using the sledgehammer, doing farmer's carries, all that stuff to just get ready for the academy. Granted, we didn't do a whole lot in the academy in terms of physical fitness, which blew my mind. But that's a whole other story. I started doing it just so I could get used to it. And then when I got hired and just kind of just hit the ground running, man.
Okay. All right.
But it's still like even now, as we go through the quote unquote seasons here, this has been the best time of the year in Florida is from when everybody's here, right? From December to April-ish, April, May, because the weather cools down, the humidity drops, and it's nice. It's nice to be in gear. And now, as we get into the summer, right, this is when it starts getting hot and just humid, and the heat gets trapped, and it's you feel it. So, but that doesn't mean we stop, man, because I've been in plenty of, a handful of fires that were in the summertime, and
Right.
they're brutal.
Okay. With you being 47 now and a back step, are there any plans to remain a back step, or are you figuring promotion to whatever
Yeah, no,
position you want to be in?
I have aspirations of promoting, and always have. And I'm in our driver engineer program right now, and our test, it's a year-long program, and our test is in September, October, so the end of the year. So, I enjoy, like I said, this is I've seen this has been my second stint into the fire service, but it's almost like like I said, a rebirth of my career because like I said, I wasn't into the job my first go around, right? I was kind of doing it for the wrong reasons and or different reasons, selfish reasons. And as I've got into this go around, it's been different, man. It's really been more about feeling called to do something, honestly, man, by God and at a higher level for a higher purpose. Not so much for myself, but for obviously for them, for the citizens and the people we serve, but also, man, for the people that I can inspire and to be better overall as well. People in my department, people just out in the fire service in general. And so whatever I can use in terms of the gifts that I have to promote or to make the fire service better and to make individuals better so they can do the same thing as go out and do the same things for others, man. That's really where I'm at now. So from a promotion standpoint, while being a back seat is great, man, and you can still have plenty of leadership value and do a lot, there's just a different conversation and it's a different seat when you are wearing that white shirt and you're in that a lieutenant level. You can have those different conversations. You can make some other changes that I want to see made from those positions, I believe.
Okay.
Whether they're right or wrong or whatever it is, it's just the way it is.
Right.
So to answer your question, definitely, long term, definitely have promote or aspirations of promotion promoting to at least lieutenant level.
Okay. And with what you said about, promoting to lieutenant and making that change, I think the smaller your organization, the more effect you can have in a sense with that, because like if you're talking like an organization that's like 30 stations, man, it's hard to get that mindset or get that buy-in. Where you're at six stations, where I am at, it's also six stations. We're working on our seventh, but it's getting large, but it's still small enough where everybody knows each other's names. You know what I mean? Like you're not just a number. With that being said, and you having that life experience, do you notice any newcomers or new backsteppers coming to you for advice, or if you see something that's like, hey, I used to be like that, let me go talk to this individual and give them a little bit of a life lesson?
Yeah, I haven't as much as I feel I should. I've always been a guy that's led more through actions and less through words. And I've been, somewhat of an introvert my life. So I'm trying to be better about, inserting that and saying, hey, man, let's, here's what I see you doing. And I've done it, a handful of times to guys with guys. And it's always been for the, not, at least I try to come at it from a, hey man, this is to make you better, to make us better. So we deserve, so we deliver the best service out there. So I'm trying to be more intentional about that. But I also, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, who am I to give this guy or give this kid or whatever? Does he really want to come in? Because sometimes, but then I think back. So it's kind of this, it's this dichotomy of like, I think about it, but then I'm always like, well, I wish somebody would have said that to me when I was younger. At least tell me what I'm doing, incorrectly. Just, help me because I don't know what I'm doing, So again, I've done it a handful of times, but it's definitely something I consciously work on and I am working on to give those guys good guidance and point them in the right direction with the right intent, with the right message for the right reasons.
Awesome. Okay. So this next topic comes from a buddy of mine who's specifically, I think he saw our little Instagram chat and he called me a couple of days ago. He's like, hey, are you having Justin Flagg? Are you interviewing him shortly? I was like, I am. And so I don't know if Jeremy Gilbert's Grinding is his tag name. So he this question is specifically from him. Or this question and topic. He wants to know, and for those that don't know, you are the recent graduate of One Bad Tour. Was it class three or four?
Four.
Class four. So he wants to know what sparked that like notion of I want to go do this. And after you said I want to go do this, how did you prepare for that class?
So wanting to go do that is, I've over the years, past years, just talked about, man, being better, right? Being better in general, getting out of your comfort zone, doing things that you may not want to do or that scare you a little bit to make you nervous to get better, right? That's just a common thing we need to do to push ourselves. So that was the thing. And while the physical nature of it didn't quote unquote scare me, obviously it's a little bit nerve-wracking. Okay, it's like, hey, it's something new, something I haven't done before, right? You're in there, your skills are being tested, it's just something totally new, something I hadn't done. So I put it out to a couple guys I work with, and two guys had done it, went through class three. So I was like, all right, well, I have to go now. Once I put my ring in the, my name in the hat, and it was chosen, it was like, well, I'm not backing out. So I went, and then from a preparation standpoint, thankfully, like I said, being that I, an extensive background with training and fitness and whatnot, I didn't change a whole lot. Did a little bit more body weight stuff, calisthenic stuff, and a few more workouts in gear consistently, right? Just to get comfortable of being in gear, because that's what I was like, you're in your gear all the time. I didn't know how intense it was going to be for those 24 hours. But over the last, couple of months, just being like, all right, let me get in gear, just stay in gear, try and get in gear every shift, whether it was for training or for doing a workout, just being comfortable, and then doing in and out of gear for time. So that was really it. So it was calisthenics, and then so but push-ups, squats, burpees, jumping jacks, things of that nature. A little bit of run, a little bit extra running just to increase the heart rate, and then practicing getting in and out of gear, and then being in gear every day, or in terms of on shift, at least getting in there for 45 minutes to an hour, not all day in gear, but just comfortable. And also over the last couple of years, I've done a lot of rucking, so that's been a huge help. Because I can have my pack on and just tighten up and be comfortable, man, and just be like, because I'll generally ruck with something that weighs the same or more whenever I do it. So a good 35, 40 pounds. And so to have my pack on is, it's like, okay, just let me tighten it, make sure it's somewhat comfortable, and I'm good to go
Right.
around and do work. So that was it, man. It was, I think I see a lot of what he does, man. And he's on, Jeremy, if you're watching this or sorry, listen to this, man, you're on the right path. And if you want to do it, man, I would do it. It's definitely worth the investment. It's worth the challenge, the time you're there. The cadre and the group, man, Baz is great. They want to see you succeed. There's standards to hold. So they will, if you're not meeting the standards in the physical fitness portion, or there are some terminal objectives, you will be asked to leave. And they tell you that right from the get-go. But they're not there to belittle you. They're not there to talk down to you. They're all just, man, they're all just firemen that are giving back and want you to be better, just as they want to be better. So they do everything you can to help you succeed. And it's just a long 24 hours. While there are some, think about your shift. If you're up all day, right, you're not going hard, balls to the wall the whole time. We aren't there either, but we're doing training, we're doing skills, we're doing stuff. You're in and out of your gear. You get water breaks, there's time for food. But you're just up, man. You're doing work, man. You're doing it. And it's just a long grind. And everybody who's teaching or in the cadre has been through it, which is really cool too.
Right. Okay. All right. So, aside from, of course, you have to have the physical preparation for any, whether it's smoke divers, that class, whatever the case may be, you got to have the physical preparation for, but also, it's always this right here is the toughest thing, the mind. Once you get the notion of I'm tired, like it's like the body's just like, oh, we can, and it's like you got to get
Exactly.
out of that mindset. Because I think it's David Goggins who says, like, when your mind says it's tired, it's really only like 40%, and you still have like 60% left to go. So what kind of like I don't know, I don't want to say like food for thought, but like what kind of things do you, because I know me personally, whenever I start getting that way, like I don't do it out loud, at least I don't think, but like I start cursing myself, like I start calling myself all kinds of terrible names, and it's like snap at it, let's go, let's go.
So you're asking, what do I do when those thoughts come into my head?
Right.
Okay, because they definitely do, right? And they definitely did in that, even in one bad tour and in different times during training. I think what's helped in general is just obviously the daily workouts and kind of quote unquote daily suffering, putting yourself through that. But it is, I don't, for me, I don't really, it's changed. I used to kind of talk to myself like that. Now I really think, like I said, because I feel I've been called for a higher purpose and by a higher purpose, I use a lot of that and I lean into that now. That strength I'm getting through Christ and God, and I think of John Spear is definitely a mentor of mine through Fit to Fight Fire, and just having those thoughts in my head, man, it's like, this isn't for me. And this goes through even when we're getting slammed and hammered at night on calls. Like, I've used that now. It's like, hey, man, this isn't your time. You're not here for yourself. Like, everything I'm doing now it's been tied to a higher purpose. So now I can lean on that in those moments. So like during one bad tour, like right from the get, man, from the rip, like you're going, after you do the meeting and the introduction, like you're in it. Like, first hour and a half, 2 hours you're getting after it from a physical fitness standpoint, and you can easily see it on people's faces. Like, what did I get into? What am I doing? And even going into that and going into or going into a daily shift or whatever, where things may get crazy. I remember that stuff. I say, hey, this is, remember why you're here. Remember why you're doing this. This isn't for you. And that has helped me a ton, man. Like I said, this is kind of my second coming with the fire service, and that's what I have been leaning on is faith and faith in God, which was which is fairly new. I grew up in a Christian household, but kind of strayed from religion and God and everything for a long, long time. And just recently, redeveloped my relationship with God, and it's been different because it's not about religion. It's not about, the do's and don'ts. It's more about that relationship. So, and really, like I said, man, it's just feeling like I've been called for a higher purpose to do more with my life and to follow that path that he's laid out.
There's no judgment there. That's awesome that you have that. You don't have any like setbacks of letting people know, like, hey, I am a believer in Christ. And because a lot of people they tend to shy away or don't want to. And it's like, man, if that's what you believe in, as long as you're not like shoving it down someone's
Yeah,
throat,
no, man,
man, definitely let it out. Let people know it's fine.
it's no judgment on other people who aren't, and it's just, it doesn't, I was just again talking to John, listening to John the other day, and it's that doesn't necessarily make, that's not what's required for friendship or whatever. It's just being a good person, man, and doing the right thing. So whether what someone believes in, as long as it's not, causing someone harm and ill will and things of that nature, right? We can
Right.
all believe different things and still get along and be good humans to each other, right? So.
Definitely, I think we can use a little bit more of that within the fire service. We like to use the word, not all, but like, the term brotherhood gets thrown, or brother, sister gets thrown around. But man, like, if you it, if we could take the fire service is a great thing, but man, I also see on the flip side, like ego is kind of like sin. It's just, if you when you get the wrong egos together, man, or somebody just thinks that they're better than you, or they look down on you because you're either not on the that busy truck or busy station, man. It's just like, it's terrible. It's like we're not doing each other any good by doing it.
Right. No, man, we're all on, quote unquote, the same team, man. We all should be have that same common goal of providing the best service that we can for the people that need it, right? And I really feel an obligation to be able to do that. It starts with yourself and, taking care of yourself and whatever your aspirations for your career goals are, man, it's doing it to the best of your ability, right? So, we need, and I think it happens in a lot of organizations where guys that don't want to promote, and then they're looked down upon, or they're not taking tons of classes, right? Well, you never know someone's situation, whether they can't afford it, whether they can't get time away from the family for whatever reasons, man. Don't, like you said, look down on somebody because they're not doing exactly what you do, right? And I used to do that with a lot of different things, from fitness or, I'm sure, being into the job, quote unquote. But you never know someone's situation. So as long as we can be approachable, and I've had to learn this, even over the years recently, is just trying not to project my values onto somebody else, what I deem valuable, right? And I always tell guys, man, I don't need, and I've kind of taken it back to the fitness piece, trying to instill that into the department, trying to hit somebody over the hammer with it is a lot. You're not going to get a lot of buy-in by that, right? It's being approachable and teaching and being there for people if they have questions, or just knowing and meeting them at their level where they're at and being able to help them. And not being like, hey man, you need to do what I do, because I love doing fitness, I love working out. Not everybody does, and some guys are good at their job, but they may not love going to classes, or they can't do it. So again, you don't know what they're going through, you don't know what their reasons are. Just trying to treat everybody with respect and understand that, again, like I said, you just don't know. You don't know what somebody's going through. So.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. 100%, 100%. Now with you obtaining class 4 of of One Bad Tour, I have to ask a personal question. Any smoke divers on the horizon, or are you like,
No,
I don't?
I've it's one of those things. Like I've thought about it in the past, and it's something that I want to do, or that I feel like, I can, again, not just for myself, but to try and show some inspiration or some being like, hey man, he's almost 50 and can do it. But then I'm kind of torn right now between putting the time into that because while I'm in good shape and whatnot, there's a different level of training and intensity and time commitment that it takes to do that. And I have to be honest with myself, and then obviously with like I said, my family, with two young daughters that are playing volleyball, they travel, being home, being a good husband and whatnot. The time, between that and then having career goals, while I want to do it. What's most important, or what's going to be, being that I'm 47 again, not from an age standpoint, but the goals I have for me and the department and what I want to accomplish, am I better off using that time to study and get into the books and be better at my craft here rather than, while smoke divers will make you a better fireman, where is my time going to be best utilized? So it's one of those things that's still not, it's not a no, never, but it's not a hell yes right now. And that's kind of where I've been lately, is like, if it's not a hell yes, then I need to kind of push it off to the side.
No, I
So
100% couldn't state it any better. I totally understand. And that's where I feel like this is where the fire service gets tricky. This is where sometimes individuals put that above what's more important. And this is why the divorce rates are the way they are, or the separation rates. But the thing is, in order to get good, you kind of need to go to, and then not specifically smoke divers, but like outside
Oh,
training,
absolutely.
you know
Yeah,
what I
absolutely.
mean? It's a hard struggle. It is a
Yeah, no,
very
for
hard
sure. And
struggle.
then and it's something I try and balance out, like with classes and whatnot and traveling. How far am I going to travel? Where am I going to go? It's just so luckily we have a good amount of trainings in Florida, right?
Right.
From it's a big state, right? From Fort Lauderdale Expo to Orlando Fire Conference. I know there's some up north. And there's plenty of stuff to go to. So I try and balance that out. And just recently I've been doing a few more of those. And I may do one more in the fall. I haven't decided yet, but I went to OFC and then went to One Bad Tour kind of back to back, pretty close together. So and why and it's and right now is our busy season with both my girls are in volleyball. They play kind of travel volleyball, so it's kind of managing that as well, man. I was going to Orlando. We was in Fort Myers this past weekend. I wasn't there all weekend. I was there Saturday. My wife was there Saturday and Sunday. Going to Orlando next weekend, and then back somewhere else the following weekend for my other daughter. So it is, man. You gotta weigh it out and what's the most important thing, which I think, it's family. It's got to be first, man.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Justin, I appreciate you taking your time to do this. It's always good to see how the trajectory of life will take people. It's not like you grew up wanting to be a fireman, but you did a couple ride-alongs, you got in, and then you took a break, and then you got back in it. So it's one of those things that it just comes full circle. So I just want to say thank you, man, for coming on, talking shop, and for being in. And I don't want you to feel like a certain way about this, but like an inspiration, because like there are times where I don't want to work out, and then I'll scroll through, and then I'm like, all right, well, Justin just did something. Shit.
I
All
appreciate
right. Gilbert just did something, as always. Shit. All right. Let me go do it. So, but like it's people like you that we're forming that mindset of, sometimes you just have to do things you don't want to do, but when you get
Absolutely.
done doing it, it's like, all right, my day can start. I've knocked out the hard stuff. So
Yeah.
thank you.
No, man, I appreciate that. That means a lot because I think about those things, man, too, in terms of, you know, we all need somebody to push ups, right? You know, everybody needs that person, whether it's at that next level that helps them get to the next level. But then they also look to for inspiration, motivation, whatever it is. And there's obviously days, man, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do things. But then I also think about the guys that I want to be like my mentors. But then I'm also thinking about people that are looking up, you know, at me and being like, hey, what's he doing? You know, is he really practicing what he preaches? Is he just, you know, talking out of his ass? Is he really what says, you know, is he walking the walk or walking the talk? So it's definitely a form of accountability for myself. And I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you saying that and giving me this opportunity to come on and just talk and talk shop and just, you know, voice everything. So it's been fun, man.
Yes, sir. No, I definitely appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.